Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Recording this is.
Yeah, it's a live version.
It's a live version.
I was trying to place the voice there.
I was trying to,
This is some bootleg from a whiskey bar in 1952. There's about 12 people in the audience, I think.
Now, there is a reason why we're playing this track, though. But, wow, I never realized how...
How raw, right?
I guess.
They just recorded on a little Casio cassette player.
If that, back then.
Is it live or is it Memorex?
All right, well, you know what? I'm going to switch it here. So I'm going to fade that one out. And I'm going to bring this one up. Because there is a reason. And hello, everybody. Welcome
hello.
To the show, by the way. So.
Oh. Your kids are going to love this.
All right, this is an oldie, but, well, it's an oldie where I come from. All right, guys, listen, this is a blues riff from B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Oh, yeah, that sounds much better.
This definitely does.
We can eventually say good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome in, everyone. Happy Saturday to you guys, of course. What are we doing? Podcast is what we're doing. Yeah, isn't it great? I love it.
We're listening to Michael J. Fox lip sync.
Yes, we are.
Do you prefer this over Ferris Bueller's lip syncing of Donka Shame? Yeah. Yeah, this one has a lot more energy to it.
All right. Yeah, it's your fader is what it is. That's weird.
Boy.
All right, we'll get it fixed. Not a big deal.
We're fading like Michael J. Fox in
just about. Just about. Well, once again, good morning, everybody. Welcome. This is your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking to you live from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose... You're Chuck Berry's cousin. We welcome you to the show. We recap our past week experiences and talk to you and hopefully make you laugh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know, laughing at the things we all experience in everyday life, the embarrassing things, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid to talk about, but damn it, we still do.
Those things that connect us all make us human, and as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show. Joining the conversation, you can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or go on to Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And today, it's nothing more than a sausage fest, which means it's just my partner and I.
That's right. That's me and you.
Yep, I get to look in his lovely eyes for the rest of the show. So we've got a... Oh, yeah, here's the horrible part in here.
He just goes what? He just goes heavy metal.
He goes Eddie Van Halen. Yeah. I just love it how everybody just stares at
him. Right, they were like, we're willing to go with the rock and roll, but not...
But now when you took it too far, yep. You get kicked over the amp.
Right.
Now you're a jerk.
Yep, gotta go home now.
And Strickland never had hair.
You guys aren't ready for that yet.
But your kids are
gonna love it.
Boom. Absolutely. So we got a pretty cool show for you guys today because, you know, it's just the two of us, so we'll catch up. We got some funny tweets. We may do a Tinseltown spotlight, but we got top late night host, top costumes for 2022, maybe our favorite costumes when we were growing up, top nuts. That could be about anything.
Anything.
And, of course, today is my son Roman's birthday. Today he turns 18. So, yeah, nice. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Sons versus dads. Ooh. Are we alike or more dislike each other?
Oh.
What's going on? We'll find out.
Interesting.
So there you go. And today's theme, of course, is Johnny B. Good by the great Chuck Berry. And, of course, we played the Back to the Future version. And the reason why is, well, you got to figure out why.
Yes. And you can win what?
A free t-shirt!
Ooh, your
That's
weekly
right.
dose t-shirt sent to you. The winner of today's guesser of today's theme.
I just love that thing. That's a great thing.
Oh, there'll be Olympic-style winners here.
And, of course, the way to do that is figure out why we are playing Johnny B. Good, because there is a particular reason. Just email us your answer to yourweeklydose1@gmail.com. Last week's listener, Michelle from Norwalk, California, right here in Southern California, she won the T-shirt last week because we played My Own Worst Enemy by Richard Cheese for National Cheese Curd Day.
Congratulations, Michelle, my neighbor from my hometown, Norwalk, California. So a fellow Norwashian there, Michelle.
Norwashian?
Norwashian is
what I didn't know that was a word.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, walk like a Norwashian. Michelle and I, maybe we know each other. Thank you for listening, Michelle, and wear that shirt around Norwalk. Go to Keystone Bowling.
Keystone Bowling. Oh, there you go.
Go bowl a few rounds in that
Absolutely.
Shirt.
Hey, for us, real quick, too, why don't you guys tell everybody how they can download the show?
You know, I was just about to tell them that they can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, you might go to a little place called iTunes or iHeartRadio or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose. And please tell your friends.
Tell your neighbors.
Tell anyone about Your Weekly Dose.
Absolutely. Wow, it went down again. That is so interesting how this is going out. I wonder if it's the cable, though, too. I'm not too sure. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to do something here.
Okay. What do
I'm going to see if it's the microphone.
Okay.
Or if it's the actual.
Okay.
Like, so I'm going to unplug my
Thank you for holding. Your weekly dose will be with you in 4 minutes.
I love that.
I was on hold with AT&T yesterday, and it is just a nightmare. Just, you'll hear a random beep. Oh, okay, somebody's about to pick up. And then it'll go back to the music. And then a ring, ring, ring.
Hello, test 1, 2. You know, it may be the microphone.
Okay, because that sounds great.
Yeah, so we got to wait to see if this thing goes out or not first.
Okay.
And then check. Okay, I'm going to mute it again because I've got to. Oh, interesting.
Okay, we're learning about microphones today.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let me mute it here.
Okay. I feel like I'm on 88.1, Long Beach's number one jazz station. Yeah.
So what's new with you, Forrest?
Oh, thank you for asking. Boy, oh boy. It was one of those busy weeks, where, you know, you're taking the kids to appointment after appointment. I think I was at a hospital or dentist's office like 4 times this week for not emergencies, thank God, but just like that day-to-day or routine kind of stuff you got to do from time to time. Got some good news in the next week department I'll be able to share about.
Oh, really?
About, yeah, just like,
Look
you know,
at that, I'm back on.
Work stuff. Welcome back, Sean.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right.
Sounds normal.
Yeah, you sound great.
Yeah, actually. Okay.
But
so far the kids are okay.
Yeah. No emergencies and that's sort of like, you know, the checkup falls on the same week as the other checkup with the follow up to this and that. So anyway, the physicals and all that business. So yeah.
So basically you were Uber dad.
Yeah, I was Uber dad. Uber dad, Uber Eats dad.
God. You know, you got the two boys, so that's a little bit tougher.
It is when they're on different schedules, so I'm like dropping off one while picking up the other to take the one to this place and then the other one, and you just get to go down the same street like six times in a day, back and forth, waving to the people that you see all the time on the corner. It gets you kind of in that.
That's not good.
Yeah, it gets you in that kind of like, I don't even know what to say. Like,
I think that's the only time I feel bad for other parents.
Yeah.
You know, is during that time, you know, like when you got to shuttle back and forth.
Yeah.
And then if you got three kids, oh, look out. Because if you had them at the proper time and, you know, you spaced them out, you got one in high school, one in middle school, and then one in elementary.
Yeah. I mean, that's why they say it's a full-time job. That's all you're doing.
That's all you're doing.
Yeah. So.
Anything else, though, for you? Or?
No. You know, doing.
Now, you said you had something special next week, though?
Yeah, I hope.
What is it? Dude. What you got? What you got coming up?
But then I'll have nothing to tell you next week.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you give us, like, a prequel or anything?
Well.
I mean, here, let me. Let me kind of maybe help you so that you can think back.
Okay. Do it one more time.
Now we went back twice.
It involves my son doing something huge.
Breaking news!
We have Peter Jennings.
It involves your son.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's big news for him. I'm waiting to get all the details, but okay. We're going on a trip, and he...
Cool. Don't spoil it.
Yeah.
We're teasing it. So, has to do with your son.
Yep.
Big announcement next week with your son.
Exactly.
And that's where we keep it at.
That's where we leave it.
Because, you know, this is...
Breaking news!
So, yeah.
With Peter Jennings.
That was somebody, though. Well, for me, it's been a busy week. It's like, oh my gosh. So I haven't announced this yet, so I'll kind of announce it right now. So as some of you guys know, you know, I've been out of work for quite some time, and I recently started working this new job for this, what they call the Westminster Academy of the Arts, and where they teach music, you know, different instruments and dance and art and stuff and everything. It's really great. Teresa is an awesome boss. She's an awesome lady there. She's got this thing, you know, down to a science and everything. So been working there for the last couple of months. Love it. But then I get a phone call. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got a phone call. And it was the Yamaha Music Corporation.
Nice.
Who I sent a resume to, I don't know, about 8 or 9 times.
Wow.
You know, and they finally called me back, got an interview. And talked to these two supervisors over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they offered me a job. So I took it.
Nice.
Because it's money.
Yeah.
And I need the damn money. So I took it. The cool thing, though, is I'm not leaving the academy, though, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So because with Yamaha, I'll be working like 8 to 5 or 8:30 to 5, something like that. And then I get to rush over to... the academy, and then work from 5:30 to like 8:30 or 8:45, depending on when the last student is. So the only hard part was that any student that wanted to, that was at 5:30 or before, had to be moved to a Monday night or a Tuesday night if they wanted to keep me as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So it also depended on their schedule and everything else too, what have you. So luckily I kept about like 90% of my students, which was great.
Nice.
So I'm going, cool. Okay, they love me that much. Awesome. And so now I'll be working both jobs. So now Monday through Thursday, I'll be working 12 hours a day.
Ooh.
So.
A 4:48?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. I've never done that before. I've never worked two jobs at the time at one time. This is my first time I've ever done it in my life.
So weekends, you're just going to do nothing.
Weekends, I've got this, baby. Yeah. So, which means like now it's like I got to prep at night. I can't prep in the morning like I used to or during the day for the show. So I really got to prep it at night and then, you know, get ready. So you have to now start sitting up late now.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm feeling that shoulder leave here. I'm feeling that shoulder leave. So that's the good news. So I'm now working with Yamaha, which is great.
Nice.
Congrats. And so it puts us financially back in a situation, you know, that we were where before the pandemic hit. So, and I know there's a lot of us out there that are still struggling with it and everything. You know, as much as they say that a lot of job markets have come back,
right,
which is great. You know, depending on what you want to do, some of us had to change careers completely.
Yeah,
you know, and I kind of stuck to my guns up to a little bit. And, you know, kind of stuck to the thing that I know that I'm really good at. And so far, it's now paid off.
Good.
So, but it's still a struggle. For those of you guys still looking for a job out there, you know, just keep hounding, man. They're there.
Yeah.
You just got to, you know, get on Indeed and get on LinkedIn or whatever and just start networking the crap out of it, you know.
I second that totally. It doesn't feel at times like it's going to go back to the way it was. So we just have to figure out a way to go forward and keep hustling.
Yeah. And you got to adjust also, like, cause like now this new job with Yamaha, what's nice about it and what's awkward about it, but nice, is I get to work from home. So yesterday I got a phone call from them and they told me why I'm working from home.
Okay.
So apparently the reason is that, Yamaha Corporation here in Buena Park, it's their main headquarters, one of their main headquarters here in the U.S. Their building, they're going to knock down and build a new building.
Okay.
So because of that, they're kind of getting everybody out, moving them into this smaller facility. Mm. So there's not enough room to have us there. So that's why they offered, and they really did a good adjustment on, okay, who can work from home.
Okay.
And, you know, who needs to come in. So there's that difference there. But they just don't have the room. So they finally got approval to move forward with the tearing down of the old building. And in 2 years, we're going to have a new building. Mm. And then I'll be able to move in at that point.
Okay.
So that was the reason why. So I'm like, well, that's kind of cool, actually. I can look forward, you know, 2 years from now of whether or not I still want to go in or not.
Yeah.
You know, and get to know everybody and what have you. Because that's going to be, I think, the hard part. With the company is that, you know, I'm not going to know certain people within my department.
Right.
So, but they said I can still kind of come in anytime I want or whatever and kind of get to know certain people.
Oh, okay.
So, which is cool. But at least now I know why I'm working from home.
Yeah.
So, I get a shiny new office later on, I guess, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So, which is kind of cool.
But you don't have to buy a bunch of office clothing.
No.
You can.
No, I just got to get new underwear and that's about it. So.
I mean, but that's optional too. I don't know if they're going to check.
Well, I wouldn't want to be fresh.
So, I mean, but you know. Star Wars shirt will work. For,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know? Me and Yoda.
Yeah.
You know, do or do not.
Yeah,
so.
you're not on Zoom or anything talking to
no,
people.
No. And I'm doing customer service. So it's mainly phone calls, emails, and then a chat. So, okay. But it's not a video chat. It's, you know, like the type chats or whatever.
That's great. That's
so,
great.
Which is really cool. So, but I get to meet my bosses on Tuesday. So
go in
for training and everything. They give me my own laptop and stuff, and so I got to understand how to run their programs for everything.
Sure.
So I'm pretty excited.
Cool.
I'm pretty excited
That's
about the
really
whole
cool.
thing. So yeah, I'm very, very happy about it all. And wow, I haven't been this busy like this. So it's gonna be interesting.
It is fun to feel busy and be like excited about it. You know, like to just be like looking forward to getting to work.
Right.
That's a good feeling.
But then when I get done with work, then I get to go to work. Also,
yes.
So, but you know, teaching is like my happy place. Also,
yeah,
you know, kind of a thing too.
Yeah,
because I mean, I did it on the side. It's just now I'm working for somebody else doing it
for sure.
So, but it's my little bit of break too, which is kind of nice.
That's
I don't
good.
Mind it.
Yeah, that'll be energizing then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah. So I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty happy and excited. Are you into horror movies?
I am.
Really?
I am. Yeah, I really like them. It's so outside of my, I don't know, maybe it's like an escape for me, but I really like horror movies.
What is it that you like about them?
I mean, it's sort of probably what people like about riding roller coasters or, you know, it's just a, it's just like a thrill ride when they're done well. It's really fun to kind of like dive into a world and, you know, experience like fear and know that you can feel it, but you know, you're all right. I don't know. Is that too artsy fartsy?
No, because it's different for everybody, you know, because I like more or less the, I guess, intellectual type. I mean, the ones that kind of screw with your mind a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Like Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, sure.
I love those.
Yeah.
You know, that type of thing I really, really like.
Yeah, the psychological part of it.
Yeah, the psychological thrillers.
Yeah, those I like. Yeah, I mean, those too.
Even going to, what is it, like Rear Window for Alfred Hitchcock.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, I mean, that, because you're going, what's that guy doing? Why? did he do this? Did he do that?
Yeah.
It's that whole guessing game kind of a thing. So that's the thing. I really liked an awful lot. Wow, the mood just changed.
Yeah.
As far as like the slasher films or anything like that,
like Freddy and Jason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just never got into those. I'm like, no, not my cup of tea.
I feel like the originals all had something in it, and it's the sequels that just killed it. No pun intended.
Okay, but what about the new Jamie Lee Curtis trilogy have come back and now making these things complete?
I mean, I saw a couple of those, and they're terrible.
Really?
They're awful. But the original Halloween, I love. I could watch the original Halloween over and over again. I do every Halloween.
Uh-huh.
There's great monologues. I love the characters. You know, the mood of the town is very...
Okay.
Like, the atmosphere is very...
But, I mean, Jamie Lee Curtis has come back and reprised her role, though.
I know, but to her own...
Is it the writing or is it the acting?
It's everything. It's just...
Wow.
It's really, like... It's really lazy in a way, you know, where it's just... They're just kind of rehashing, redoing... watered down versions of the original, and then it just stretches thin at this point where, you know, Michael Myers is, I don't know, 50-60 years old.
Yeah.
And he's running around crazy like he
he's in good shape.
Well, I mean,
he
does work out.
Yeah.
Killing these people
exactly
takes a lot, but I mean, he doesn't ever pull a hammy like we do. He doesn't get a bad back.
Well, he's creative. You gotta admit to that. He's creative.
He's bionic.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen this latest one though that she's done?
I've heard bad things. I've not checked it out yet.
Really? Still?
Yeah. I will though.
Okay.
I have a, you know, what do you call it? A guilty pleasure in bad horror movies.
See, I have a respect for them because they are great at what they do,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of a thing. And then for Halloween to kind of keep that tradition going, mm-hmm. I guess you could say, and to bring back the original actress, you know.
Yeah.
Was it 40 years later or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, and to kind of do this thing to try and finish the storyline, so to speak.
Yes.
You know, after all the other stuff that's happened in between.
I mean, how many films has she played this character in? That is in itself...
I think it's like four?
Yeah, I mean, that's something in itself.
Right.
But, you know, that it's... is horror characters go. And she survived longer than most characters do.
Well, she's well worth it, too.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure she's an icon in that genre.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing about it. So, but yeah, I've never been a fan of the slasher films.
Mm.
Some of it's just it kind of just grosses me out, you know.
Sure.
Kind of a thing. It's like no, too real.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, I mean the dream. You know? I'm as a kid. I don't know about you, but it messed with me sleeping with the Freddy Krueger and going to sleep.
See, The Exorcist messed with me as a kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, especially growing up Catholic and everything.
Because they're so real. The bedrooms are—they're like your bedroom.
Yeah.
So you go to bed, and you're like, oh, I feel like I'm in Nightmare on Elm Street right now.
Yeah, exactly.
As a teen, it definitely messed with me.
Exactly. So, well, you know, the thing is though, is that a lot of people also they look at the humorous side of the horror films as well.
Sure.
So, so we got some tweets for you guys regarding just that—the humorous side of horror films. So here we go. Here's our tweets. We haven't done one of these in a while too, so this is kind of cool. So I love this. So funny tweets about horror movies. People in horror movies will dig up a grave with one shovel, no pickaxe, all on their own, like in 20 minutes. That's so true.
Hardly breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
No dirt or not coughing or anything.
Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, let's just start digging. All right. You know, they even did that in Justice League with Superman, you know, It was just like, I think Cyborg was the only one who was digging up Superman. He goes, oh, we found him. Here we go.
Oh, God.
And it was like 20 minutes. I think 10 minutes for him, though.
Yeah. Wow. So. They're super.
Yeah. People okay, there you go.
People in horror movies love wiping steam off of mirrors to see behind them instead of just turning around. Oh, God, they do.
Do they really? Yeah, just
they,
wipe
they
it.
They just wipe it. They're, they get out of the shower. Is someone behind me? Let me wipe the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. And all of a sudden,
right.
You know, and you see the person, you know, right behind you. It's like you wipe it off and...
Gotta get those...
And they're there, you know.
Jump scares, man. You gotta get them.
Exactly. Okay, next week here is, when I see people in horror movies running around the house, hiding from the killer, I always think, how fucking big is that house? In my house, I could run into the family room, and the killer would still be in the kitchen like, I see you in the family room. I see you. There you are. There you are. It's true. These houses are, like, huge. There's upstairs, downstairs, and...
Yeah, it's like they're always these two-story Boston, I don't know what you call them, East Coast style.
Bostonial.
You know? Yeah. You know, not these tight... The suburbs I'm used to. From Norwalk. Like Michelle in Norwalk.
Well, I think the closest... Well, no, even in Halloween, there was a two-story house, wasn't it?
They're always these majestic, like colonial style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what. Virginia, Washington.
Right.
Montana. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah, you're always in these two stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead. Next one.
Next one. Why do people in horror movies yell out, hello?
Oh, God.
As if the killer is going to respond. Is someone there? Yeah, I'm the killer.
Well, I mean, you're going to have this. Hello? Hello?
I'm here to kill you.
Jimmy, is that you?
Oh, yeah. I'm wearing a mask, but it's me, Jimmy.
You sound different, Jimmy.
It's because on accounts I'm about to kill you.
Oh.
Here, stab.
Ow. Did you bring the beer?
I'm going to drink it after I kill you.
Oh.
Stab.
Ow. Yeah, that's pretty much how that happens, too, so.
Did we write that down? Start my next screenplay here.
Stab. I like that. I like that. Stab. Let's see. Here we go. Another one. Why do people in horror movies that involves spirits never cleanse themselves after going to the haunted place? I can, from the astrological, these people who are like, your aura is purple, but you got to cleanse it to make it more purple.
Oh, not like bathe, but like a spiritual cleanse.
Yeah.
Like burn some sage and some incense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, do some chants or whatever that gets rid of the evil spirits, or may bring other spirits back. You never know.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
The cleansing. people in horror movies trying to be quiet while looking for something to defend themselves with from the killer.
Okay, I'm walking through the haunted house. Okay. There's some duct tape. Some super glue. Nope, that won't work. If I call and find a screwdriver... I had the screwdriver in the drawer here. It was always in my junk drawer. Where the hell did the screwdriver go?
Billy? Yeah, it's one of those things again, too.
I think it is.
Yeah.
What do we got?
Let's see. Is it my turn or your turn?
It's your turn.
My turn. What are we doing? Okay. Okay, here we go. Why do people in horror movies go to Christian churches to get more information on ghosts?
Hey, man, you got to go. Got to have that confessional scene with the...
But why Christian church? I mean, what like a priest is going to know about ghosts?
So should they go to like a demonic church?
Wouldn't you go to a ghost hunter instead to find out?
I always feel like those guys are full of crap. I feel like you have to go to like an authority.
Again, we're talking Christian churches here. They don't... I don't know if those guys are,
They might have some old info in some book somewhere, some dusty old book.
Just because the big guy rose 3 days later, doesn't make it official.
Man. I don't know.
That's the biggest ghost of them all.
Those ghost hunters seem like just con artists, but
I don't know. I've seen some of those. Producer Casey, Yeah, unfortunately, she's not here today, though. She's got a little stomach problem at home. But she worked on a TV show that they were like ghost hunters.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm sure she's got a few stories.
Okay, I want to see if she can corroborate any information. Yeah. Well,
hopefully, she'll be back next week. Okay. A little bit better. So,
hey, people in horror movies will live in towns like Shadyville or Demonside or Murdertown and still be acting surprised when there's a serial killer on the loose.
That's so true.
Yep. I feel like that's very like Scooby-Doo. Like a lot of those towns are Shadyville.
Stab him and leave him. You know. Doesn't make sense.
Stabberg,
there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Sharp knife-ville.
Right.
Yeah, whatever. Pitchfork something, you know. I don't know. I was trying to make up something. It didn't come out. That's why I said something.
Welcome to Pitchfork.
Welcome to Pitchfork.
Something.
Yeah. People in horror movies will hear weird whispers and then move toward the whisper.
Always, right? What if you were some rumble in your closet, you'd probably take off. I think I would.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go look and open it up.
Hello? Come here.
Nope.
Come here.
Nope. I'm moving out today.
Let me out.
Nope. I'm back.
Open the box.
Leaving the box, leaving the suitcase.
The key is under the mat.
I'm leaving the keys for you because you can live here now.
Open the box.
I'm out of here.
Come. Come open the box. No. Hey, where are you going? Open the box. Yeah.
Yep. Nope. I'd be out of there.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Be like Scooby and Shaggy.
Yep. I'll leave it to them.
All right. Well, why? Is that mine or yours? Yours. I don't know.
Why do people in horror movies always camp in places with no cell service?
Why is that? What is up with that?
That, you know.
That means they're using AT&T. They're not using T-Mobile. You know, come on. It's sponsored by the damn, you know, from the film and everything.
Right.
You got the commercials on. What the hell? You know, product placement, right?
Right. The moral being that you can't get by without a cell phone in this world.
Yeah. You know, that's not good.
Yep.
What were they thinking? I don't know. All right. Well, there you go, guys. Those are some tweets there regarding horror films themselves. Well, you know what? This weekend also is Johnny Carson's birthday, and of course, it's a National Talk Show Host Day. So, I was kind of looking up the like who is the all time king of late night, you know? And I think for our generation, we always say, well, Johnny Carson, of course. Mm-hmm. And so, but I looked at it on three different websites, and it was really interesting to see who got in the top 10.
Yeah, just kind of scanning it right now. I'm kind of going, yeah, this is very interesting.
Yeah. So I'll do the first one. You can do the next one. So according to Ranker, so Ranker.com is, you know, where people get to go on and they vote themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, on who it is or whatever. So, I'm just going to kind of start with the honorable mentions. These are the guys that were not in the top 10.
Okay.
Okay. According to Ranker. Jimmy Kimmel was number 11. James Corden was number 18.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Fallon was number 20. Number 25 was Arsenio Hall. And then number 26 was Jay Leno.
Really?
Really interesting.
Yeah, very. Because 25 hosts are ranked higher than Jay Leno, according to Ranker.
Right.
25?
Yeah.
Like, and you're saying Jimmy Kimmel and James Corden. This is the thing with rankings is like retired people versus current, you know, because like Jimmy Fallon and James Corden are a lot newer than the amount of years. How many years did Jay Leno put in, you know, versus I would think Jay Leno would have like twice as many years.
I think Jay did 20 years himself.
Really?
Yeah, because Johnny was there for 30. I think Jay did 20 or 25.
Okay.
Something you know, of that nature.
Yeah.
And of course, we're talking just the Tonight Show.
Correct.
But here you go. Okay, so number 10. Now, this is late night host of all time.
Okay.
So not just current or whatever, but of all time. Number 10 was Steve Allen.
Okay.
Okay. Number 9, John Oliver.
I can't believe that.
Number 8, Ed Sullivan. Number 7, Stephen Colbert. 6, Jon Stewart. 5, Craig Ferguson,
really?
Who I really did enjoy, because he got naughty with the ladies. Number 4, Graham Norton, who I do love. The top 3 make sense to me. Number 3, David Letterman. Number 2, Johnny Carson. And number 1 was Conan O'Brien.
Conan.
Now,
really?
Top10.com had somebody different.
Top10.com at number 10, which who was not on mentioned according to Ranker. Number 10, Seth Meyers, SNL writer.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, again, John Oliver. Interesting. Number 8, Stephen Colbert, who's very good. Number 7 on top 10s is Jay Leno. So he's a lot higher here. Jay Leno is like almost 20 spots higher on
right.
this one. Number 6, Jimmy Fallon, also a lot higher here. Number 5, Johnny Carson. Number 4, David Letterman. Number 3, Jimmy Kimmel, very high for him. Number 2, Craig Ferguson. And again, number 1, according to top 10s, is Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, and of course, now the honorable mentions on this one was James Corden was ranked at number 11.
Yeah.
Arsenio Hall ranked number 14. Steve Allen, who was number 10 on Ranker, is now number 16. And then Graham Norton ranked in at number 24.
Yeah, it's a lot lower for Graham Norton.
Right, yeah. Okay. Now, nextluxury.com, again, it's a big mismatch on this whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, go ahead with this list.
So it was on this one at top 10 from Next Luxury was Johnny Carson. So a lot lower for him.
Which was interesting. Because if you look at each one, Carson is either number 2 or much lower.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I think it's that generational thing.
I was going to say, without jumping to that, I want to know who, according to who's the, what's the demographic of the person making this list?
Right.
Because it's going to be different depending on who that is.
Because without Johnny, we would not have a David Letterman. We would not have a Conan O'Brien.
Right.
We would definitely not have a Jimmy Fallon, you know, and wouldn't have a Jay Leno.
And by that argument, you know, Steve Allen should be a lot higher too, because he was prior to Carson, as far as I, you know,
yeah.
I haven't seen Dick Cavett on here either. I see Dick Cavett a lot.
They were much, much lower.
Wow. I feel like it leans towards the modern, you know, this is leaning towards the modern people more, which
right.
isn't necessarily bad, but these are always going to cause debate.
And to me, some of these people don't deserve to be on here. I understand because it's a late night host, but some of these were political shows
mm-hmm.
that were on late at night.
Sure. The Daily Show kind of
right.
Spawns.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I would take, in my opinion, I would take those people out because it was more of a political show.
Yeah.
You know, just because it was on at late night because, you know, they didn't want to air it during the day.
Yeah. 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 I think of those kind of as more afternoon shows or something. They don't have the kind of spectacle of like celebrities coming in and stand-up and variety
They do their monologue, and then the first thing is it's all political humor.
Right, right, right.
You know, political pointing out this or how funny this is or how idiotic that is.
Or like recorded segments out in the field, like they send Steve Carell out to go interview somebody
right.
and then blah, blah, and it's a taped segment. Where late night has more of that variety, that live.
It's supposed to be a mixture of things.
Variety show, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. All right, I mean, so Net Luxury. Here
so
we go.
Next Luxury started off with 10 being Carson, number 9, Craig Ferguson. Here we see of the political kind, number 8, Jon Stewart, number 7, Jimmy Kimmel, number 6, Arsenio Hall.
Moved
so
up
that's
on that spot.
Highest one. 5, Jay Leno, number 4, Jimmy Fallon, and number 3, Steve Colbert.
And here's the big switch.
And the big switch, number 2, Conan O'Brien, and number 1, David Letterman.
Yeah.
Who I really liked. I really liked Letterman.
Well, Letterman kind of, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for Carson, Letterman wouldn't be around because he gave him that shot.
Sure.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know. And, I mean, the relationship between those two men, because Letterman started on The Tonight Show doing stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was because of that he got to do the follow-up show after Carson for NBC.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was the whole thing, the battle war between Leno and him of who was going to get the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And NBC's biggest mistake was they never asked Carson who he wanted. Hmm. And personally, he did want Letterman. You know, to take
great.
It over.
Yeah, he was great.
You know, and that should have been the proper person, I think, to take over the Tonight Show at that time.
He had more, like, he was more unique to me than Leno. Leno was more just conservative, like, traditional. I don't know who he appealed to specifically, but to me, Letterman was more appealing and unique.
Yeah. Well, with Letterman, like Carson, Letterman was from New York.
Mm-hmm.
So he had some of that humor, mm-hmm. you know, despite where he came from, because they were both Midwestern guys.
Yeah,
but both shows originated in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Carson brought it out here to L.A. Mm. And so when they made that switch. But I think some of the humor was a little bit of the same. But Letterman took it to where, how do I describe it? That silliness or dumbness or the most things you don't think about could be just as funny.
It was off the wall in a way that other comedians weren't.
You right.
know, doing stupid pet tricks or the...
Right, exactly.
The absurd top 10 lists that he would do. I loved the top 10 lists. I would even buy the
books. Oh, yeah.
They'd sell the books at, like, Borders or whatever, Walden Books, and I'd go down and get a book of top 10 lists. And they were just funny to read. To me, it was, yeah, absurd in a way that was really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and the relationship between the two men was just absolutely phenomenal, you know, overall. And I'm gonna play something here where it kind of shows you the humor between Carson and Letterman. Mm-hmm. And this is already after it's been announced that Leno's taking over,
mm-hmm.
kind of a thing. And Carson asks him his opinion about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to see if I can fast forward over here to it a little bit.
We still have the Halloween music.
Oh, is that still going on? Oh, my God.
I was getting scared, and I didn't know why.
I don't know why. Let's see here.
There's Ed McMahon laughing.
I can start off with a question here. Just, just how pissed off are you?
And I love his answer. It is so classic.
Man. I've never asked that question in many years.
Johnny, let me give you a little piece of advice. You keep using language like that, and you're going to find yourself out of a job.
Well, a lot of people, we've known each other for over 10 years.
Long time.
When you first came on this show. And I remember the very first joke I remember you doing on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it had to do with brushing your teeth when the toothpaste congeals in the sink.
Oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
It makes those little hard things. And you said you chip them out and serve them for dessert mints.
That's
right?
Yeah.
Just to show you, I can still remember what you did.
Yeah.
Now, with all that's been going on, and of all the stuff that's been in the papers and in conjecture and theory by the critics and the people. Because, as you know, a friend of yours is taking over here next May. And you...
Well, I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said... And there were all these
I'm
things in the paper.
Like a waitress, Ed. I'm a little nervous.
There were rumors in the paper you were going to firebomb NBC. You were going to do all these.
Well, I hate waiting in lines, but I do it.
No, don't get Shaughnessy started. No, don't start with Shaughnessy in the rim shots. We'll never get through anything. So, do you want to address this question?
Oh,
is there
yeah.
anything to address? Or?
No. I'm not angry. I'm not angry at NBC about this.
Right.
Not angry at Jay Leno about this. Not angry at you or the Tonight Show about this. I mean, realistically, if it were not for you,
right.
I wouldn't have a show. And, you know, I wouldn't have socks, actually, if it weren't for you. And now, if the network had come to me and they said, Dave,
mm-hmm.
we'd like you to have this show.
Uh-huh.
And then a week later, they said, Dave, we don't want you to have the show. Then you could be angry about
right.
that. But I have a show.
Yes, you do.
And NBC can do whatever they want with this show. So I was never, never angry. Now, would I like to have the show? Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's honest.
I'd like to be looking at new upholstery now, you know? And from what I know of you, a guy can make a pretty comfortable living doing this show.
If you play your cards right and don't give it all away, you can. can you envision yourself, we're going to finish it almost 30 years in May, can you envision yourself 20 years from now doing your late night show? I'll put that down as a hardly no, right?
I don't know how you've done it. I don't, yeah. 10 years to me seems like, some nights it seems like it's been 10 years. No, I don't think we got much beyond, 10 years seems just about right sometimes.
Yeah. Anyway.
But he would go on.
And he did go on.
Yeah.
I think 30 years himself also.
Yeah, he switched to CBS not too long ago.
Right, and that was just it because, what happened was if for those who don't know, what happened back then, because, we're looking at 1991 right mm-hmm. now. Basically, what happened was that when Carson decided to retire, Jay Leno's agent at the time had a secret meeting with NBC and set everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of went behind everybody's back is what it would happen. Mm. And that's how Leno got it. And instead of reprimanding his agent or whatever, Leno just went, yeah, okay, all
right. Right, what else is he going
to
say?
Well, maybe they want to talk to Letterman. Maybe they want to talk to, I don't know if I really like it. Even though Leno has been a guest host for a number of years,
sure,
on the Tonight Show,
yeah,
and everything. So, I think that whole thing, it really made Letterman rethink on his whole thing with NBC of going, well, what can I do now or whatever,
Yeah.
And so he started to shop around on his own.
Yeah.
To see what could ABC do? What could CBS do?
Mm-hmm.
And so now that's when he made that jump of leaving NBC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it got big for a while where Arsenio was kind of the third contender. And then didn't Magic Johnson have a Rick Dees and Magic Johnson are getting late night?
Well, yeah, Rick Dees had a late night show. Magic Johnson didn't last. Do you know who his co-host was?
I don't remember. I remember it famously lasted week or something.
We actually know him.
Yeah.
Craig Shoemaker.
Oh, he was the side?
He was, yeah. And it was funny because Craig tells these wonderful stories about it and everything.
Uh-huh.
And where Magic would not back him up or anything. And so he would throw out a joke or whatever. And sometimes it didn't go. Sometimes the audience kind of like half chuckled or whatever.
Right.
And all Magic would do was go, oh, Craig. Oh, that's bad, man. That's bad.
And that's what all he would say.
Yeah. And it's like, okay. And yeah. And Craig goes, dude, we were like treading water.
Really?
Big time. Yeah. I mean, Magic couldn't, do an interview to save his life or anything. It was only like, I think a month or 2 months.
Yeah,
it didn't last long.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Letterman goes to CBS or whatever. And then, Conan O'Brien then moved into Letterman's spot on NBC.
Sure.
And it was that dynamic after Leno.
Oh, yeah, because Conan would be third, right? What did they call the third one?
It was the Late Late Show.
Oh, my. And that would be on at, what, one?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now you have, so when you look at these guys, you looked at Carson retiring. Okay, and then it was a battle between Leno and Letterman all these years. Then Leno goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Conan steps in for the Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't allow him to develop, and God bless Conan O'Brien because, again, New Yorker moves out from New York to L.A., brings the crew, and the ratings weren't as good, as it was with Leno. And they said, well, maybe we'll bring back Jay.
Yeah, what Letterman was describing was what happened to Conan. They were like, okay, Conan, you got it. And then, like you're saying, they got cold feet or the ratings weren't up to par. And then they just pulled the rug out from him. So he ended up, I remember his departure was more like emotional than Letterman's was.
Yeah, and it was really ridiculous because of that, you know. And NBC, because the ratings dropped, whatever, and for whatever reason, they decided to bring back Leno at an earlier time.
Yeah.
And then they were trying to push back.
Oh, like a 10 p.m. show or something?
Yeah.
That's right.
And then they said, okay, well, what if we then push you back, maybe back to 11, and put the Tonight Show...
Right.
Well, then it's not the Tonight Show anymore. Yeah. It's the Tomorrow Show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah. They looked really bad coming out of that.
Oh, my God. It was horrible.
Yeah. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah. So here's Letterman talking just about blaming, you know, Conan, you know, in general.
This NBC Tonight Show thing. Because, honestly, folks, I don't have a dog in this fight. But here's the deal. I've known Jay Leno for, I don't know, 35 years, a long, long time. Mm. And we used to buddy around in the old days. And what we're seeing now is kind of vintage Jay. And it's enjoyable for me to see this. It's like, hey, there he is. There's the guy I know. And I just thought, well, I better keep my mouth shut because I, you know, Lord knows I got my own problem.
Yeah.
I got my own problem. But I just can't help myself.
It's so good.
And it while is. It's true I don't specifically have a dog in this fight, I think that in some way I and Paul are responsible for the mess that's taking place over there now.
We're responsible.
Yes, because of the big stink that we created when we left NBC.
We left it big.
Years and years ago, they said, okay, well, that'll never happen again.
Right.
So.
Well, that's why Jay says he was going to retire 5 years ago just to avoid that.
That's right. They wanted to avoid another transitional brouhaha. Yeah. If I can invoke a little French.
Please do.
So last night, Jay gave his State of the Network speech.
He did.
And
State of the Network.
And I saw...
State of the Network.
And he said that we should not blame Conan for what's going on.
Don't blame Conan
for what's going on. And I said to myself, no one is blaming Conan.
I was going to say, no one.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he further elucidated that who we should actually blame are Conan's agents and managers. We should blame them because this is what they do. And then Jay pointed out that he himself has no agent or manager. So I'm begging you, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of everyone involved, please don't blame Conan.
Don't blame Conan.
Please. Okay?
So, you know, so that goes on.
He's very artful about how he feels. Like,
oh, yeah.
You get what he feels, and he's not saying it.
Right.
It's really between the lines. It's really good.
You know, and then, you know, they ask Conan to kindly step down.
Right.
You know, and... You know, and Conan was very happy to at least be a part of history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like Jack Parr. When Jack Parr was the first host of The Tonight Show, he only did it for like a year and a half, I think, or something like that.
But he started it.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, so at least he's in the record books or whatever. But then from that point on, it's like, okay, well, now who's going to take over? And of course, Jay comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Takes it over, you know, and then when he does finally step down a second time, then it's they pass it off to Jimmy Fallon.
Right, right.
You know, who I thought was a good replacement overall because he can bring in that newer, fresh blood to keep the certain traditions going.
It seems like he reached out to the you know, the internet. Because he was like the first one who's able to. Or,
yeah.
Or Jay Leno wasn't necessarily doing that, I don't think.
Well, Jay Leno is that, to me, that transitional between old and new.
Correct.
You know, it's kind of like I always talk about, like, you and I are that generation who remembers how things were from the greatest generation. You know, our grandparents who fought in World War II or whatever. And that's what Carson was. Carson was from that old generation of the Rat Pack and
sure.
of old Hollywood and everything.
Sure.
You know, that's
sure.
why those clips are so enjoyable to watch and everything. And where Leno was that transitional of like, well, okay.
70s,
yeah.
80s.
Yeah.
90s, little 90s. Yeah. yeah.
You know, and then, you know, Conan to me was a little bit of that still, but he could have carried it on.
Right. NBC young people love Conan.
NBC didn't let him grow with it.
Yeah.
And then they decided to go with Fallon, who, again, I thought was a smart choice, though, overall. Mm. Because like you said, he used the internet. He was using this. He was using all the tools there for that younger generation.
Right.
You know? And you know, I'll watch him every once in a while now. And yeah, it's very entertaining because he'll do these silly games with the guests coming on. Or maybe they're not even guests. They're just celebrities that are in the New York area.
Right, right, right.
You know, and have that entertainment going on there.
Right, right.
You know? So I think that was the smart move. And then, of course, Conan went on to have his own show on TBS.
Right.
And does very, very well there.
Yeah.
And now it seems like everything's at peace. Because now you've got Jimmy Kimmel on mm-hmm. ABC and Jimmy Fallon on NBC. And when Kimmel goes to New York, they always get together with Fallon and do something.
Mm.
Matter of fact, was it this year or last year for April Fool's? They went on each other's shows.
Oh, cool.
You know, so Jimmy Fallon came and hosted Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel went and hosted The Tonight Show.
I mean, that's how it should be. It's a dumb idea of, like, talk show wars or late night wars. It's just kind
but
of a dumb...
But that's how bad it got
it
back
was,
then.
Yeah, it was weird.
You know, and like you were saying earlier about Arsenio Hall,
mm-hmm.
you know, Arsenio, he was smart enough to go, I'm not going for the Carson generation.
Yeah.
I'm going for their kids.
Sure, sure.
You know, and that's exactly what it did because, you know, he was my generation because I saw all these other really cool actors
right.
and actresses and musical that I was growing up with.
Right. It was a different kind of alternative.
yeah.
You know.
You know. And granted, Carson had legends on. I mean, he had Sinatra. He had,
right.
you know, legendary comedians, Milton Berle, Bob Hope. I mean, you name them. They yeah. were on there.
Yeah.
But then also you had the newer generation on Arsenio.
Yeah.
You had Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Madonna was ever on The Tonight Show until she went on Jay Leno.
Maybe. Yeah, I remember her on Letterman, but not on Carson.
Right. You know, yeah. Prince.
Yeah. Or even Clinton playing the saxophone
right.
was like an iconic part of his campaign.
Yeah.
And it was Clinton went to this alternative to reach
the younger
crew. Absolutely.
And he knew why bother with Carson.
And it worked, yeah.
And it worked beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, so Arsenio, you know, besides doing the Coming to America movies, you know.
Sure, sure.
You know, seeing him, you know, be that host.
Right.
I thought he did a beautiful job on that first go-round.
It's also funny you mentioned the couple of movies Arsenio did. Well, I'm sure he did more than a couple. But
yeah.
I can think of, like, Fallon from SNL and other movies or Jimmy Kimmel on the radio or The Man Show. But,
mm-hmm.
like, Letterman, all I think of is Letterman's on the show, right?
Yeah.
He did very little. Carson mentioned him being stand-up before, but Letterman, I only think of being a late-night host, you know? So
right.
that adds something, too. Carson, I don't know if he did anything besides... Did he do stand-up maybe before?
No, Carson, I'm trying to remember. He did do a couple of things, but he had like a couple of shows that were like test runs.
Okay.
Kind of a thing prior to when he got The Tonight Show.
Yeah, because...
But he had his own little kind of shows, things or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know, until he got The Tonight Show. And then after that, I mean, he just stayed with it.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, which is why that whole era, they call him the King of Late Night,
uh-huh.
you know, and he definitely was at
Absolutely.
That time period. Now, when you look at some of these other guys, like I love Graham Norton, the way he interviews, you know, the British
guy.
You watch some of the stuff and watch some of the interviews that he does. It's so interesting because it's kind of, to me, he kind of reminds me of young Carson.
Oh, really?
Because you get these celebrities talking about different things that they never would have talked about.
Oh, yeah. And I noticed from the clips I've seen, they're usually in groups. So you'll have like an interesting mix of actors together.
Exactly. So I really enjoy that. Craig Ferguson or whatever. I just liked how he got naughty with the ladies. It was funny as hell.
He was the he replaced Conan?
I think so, yeah.
Because he was always late. I'm not up that late. So.
Yeah. and you know, and it was funny because it was always these innuendos or whatever, you know. And but it was fun to just to see that, to take it to that edge or whatever, You know, and the ladies were receptive to that too. Mm. You know, so it wasn't anything derogatory.
Well, he had was it the Scottish or Irish?
Yeah, Scottish, I think.
Scottish accents helps.
Yeah,
probably.
And everything. So, you know, so you got those, and then Colbert, you know, who's now moved into the Leno spot.
Mm.
You know, it's now kind of gone. It's semi-political, but then he also has the hosts or the guests and everything mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of a mixture of things.
Sure.
His old show and new show.
Because his Daily Show persona. You know, when he was on the Daily Show, he always said he was like playing a character, you know, because he kind of played that dumb political correspondent.
Yeah.
And then when he moved into Stephen Colbert, he was going to be more himself.
Yeah. Which I thought is a good blend.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, it's definitely changed over the years, and whatever generation you're at, you're going to have a little bit of each or remember a little bit of each or just only remember, well, I remember Leno. I don't remember so-and-so. I don't
right,
know.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, who's Arsenio? You know, kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah.
Because some don't even know at all.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so there we go. So those are the late night hosts. And boy, that was a long talk, wasn't it?
We're late in the night now.
Yeah, we are. Well, we got Halloween coming up pretty soon, of course.
We do.
have you chosen a costume yet? Are the boys going to go out? Or
I'm one of those, you know. 3 o'clock on Halloween, goes into his closet and goes, well, what am I going to be this year? I pick from what I have. I've not decided. And my boys are not much into it. And they must take after me. They're not much into the dressing up as well.
Really?
No. They were younger. Uh-huh. But over the years, they're now into their teens. And so now they're like, I don't know. So,
well. See, I've always been into Halloween. But into the dressing up. I've never been to the scary, scary thing,
uh-huh.
You know, unlike some other friends of mine who loved it. You know, we were all part of the Halloween haunt at Knott's Berry Farm. We've talked about that before. But never really the whole aspect of being scared, per se, or trying to scare other people. But just the dress up.
Yeah.
You know, it was great. I love dressing up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was at one point where my son Roman, who's 18 today, by the way.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah, congratulations. I posted a few years back where he dressed up as Batman.
Uh-huh.
But of course, you know, it's the newer Batman
yeah.
kind of a thing. And then I posted that picture next to me dressing up as Batman with that plastic mask or whatever.
Sure, and it just hangs in
and
front
the,
of you.
And the vinyl
thing. Yeah.
That you're sweating like a pig.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
kind
yeah,
of
yeah.
a thing or whatever. And so. You know, which is kind of cool. So it's like, hey, all right, you know.
Oh yeah, we'd make the yearly trip down to Gemco or Fedco and buy it off the rack. And here's your plastic mask. Don't break it, because if you break it, or if you break the little string on it, I'll staple it back on.
And don't put your tongue through the little thing, because you might cut your.
Oh, you'll
tongue.
Cut your tongue for sure.
Sure. Yeah.
If you try to eat a candy through the little sharp
God.
Jagged mouth hole that they cut
yeah,
for
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Little vinyl thing flapping in the wind.
So, but I mean, I really enjoyed, you know, just dressing up in general.
Oh, for sure. That was fun.
You know. So, all right. Well, here we go. The best costumes for 2022.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. All right. What do you think some of them may be?
I mean, are we talking all ages?
Yeah. And this is by bestproducts.com. So this is where I got this list from.
I would imagine a lot of superheroes are on there.
There's a few.
Okay. Some Disney characters, maybe?
There's a few.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a couple. One here, actually.
Do we still have those sort of generic ones, like cop or, you know, cowboy or?
No.
Okay. Okay. So a lot of like branded kind of like characters.
Everything
kind of.
Is branded.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well,
everything is branded.
What do we got?
Okay. Well, number 10,
mm-hmm.
Elvis.
Ah.
People still love to dress up as Elvis.
Sure.
Hunka baby.
Men and women both, probably.
Yeah. And of course, you can always dress as, just put a sheet over yourself and then get the Elvis wig and the glasses. Now you're the ghost of Elvis.
Okay. Okay.
You know, so there you go. There's an idea. Cher from Clueless is number 9.
Oh. Alicia Silverstone?
I guess that her character,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then Moira Rose? Is number 8
from Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Okay.
John, number 7 is Jon Snow from Game of Thrones.
And I'm sure the guy's like wielding a sword around.
Yeah.
All night, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then mistakenly go, by the power of Grayskull. Wrong thing, dude.
Yes.
Wrong thing.
Right.
Number 6, we just mentioned it, Batman.
Sure.
Because, you know, the latest film that came out recently, the Batman.
The Batman, yeah.
Or, sorry.
goth,
the Batman.
Goth Batman, yeah. I think.
You know, so there's the newest yes. costume of that.
Yep.
And I don't know how to pronounce this, but this is from House of Dragon, the Rain...
Rhaenerys?
Rhaenyra Targaryen?
Yep. Yep, that's the one.
From House of Dragon.
Yep, cool costume.
Okay. This one surprised me. Number four, Wonder Woman, 1984.
Ooh.
I guess when she's in that golden thing with the wings and stuff.
That's a hard costume to pull off. You got to be...
I think Wonder Woman's a hard costume to pull off no matter what.
Yeah,
you know, because
yeah.
you know, we want a Linda Carter in there. We don't want a...
Well, yes. There's only one Linda Carter.
Somebody so less. Yeah. So, just being truthful, ladies. Okay, and then this one kind of surprised me, but it didn't because of the recent Marvel stuff going on. But Spider-Man.
Okay.
You know, the newer look of the Spider-Man kind of thing, more metallic look and everything.
You got to wear that mask all night, though.
Yeah, but that'd be kind of fun, though, too,
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Mess with people?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, Spider-Man was number what?
Number three.
Okay.
And then, God, my throat is really dry. Number three is Spider-Man. Okay, number two, The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, that Amish-looking guy?
Yeah, you know, just that one piece or whatever.
Okay.
You know, but if you play it right, you can be a little naughty and not wear anything underneath.
So the
easy access.
Sexy Handmaid's
yeah,
Tale.
Yeah, so that's what I'm talking okay. about. You know,
because there's a sexy version at Party City of
right.
every one of these.
Well, I mean, you don't have to look at sexy, but just what's underneath.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like wearing a kilt.
Okay. Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And what do you think was number one?
I have no idea. Yeah, I felt like you've named every one of the big ones.
Okay.
Superman?
No. So we've covered Marvel.
Yeah.
We've covered DC.
Yeah.
We mentioned Disney earlier.
Uh-huh. So is it a Disney one?
It's a Disney.
Jeez. I don't know.
Something after you've had a few beers, you get a...
sandwich?
Well, that too. I'm Sandwich Lightyear! Yeah.
Is it Buzz Lightyear?
Buzz Lightyear, because of the most recent film.
The cartoon that just came out,
yeah.
right? Oh. Okay.
Buzz Lightyear is number one.
Oh, I guess you do get a buzz after a couple of beers.
Depending on what kind of beer you get. You know, for me, it's a couple of stouts. You
okay.
know, so, yeah, I'm not a beer drinker, but I'm definitely a stout drinker.
Okay.
So, yeah, so there you go. You know, so, yeah, Elvis, Cher from Clueless, Moira Rose, Jon Snow, Batman, the gal from House of Dragons, because I ain't going to try to repeat it again. Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, Handmaid's Tale, and Buzz Lightyear is number one. So those are the best costumes.
Now you know
that people
if you
want to
avoid the obvious
yeah.
ones or if you want to blend in.
What was your favorite costume dressing up like all through the years, whether it be your college years or your high school years or even...
Jeez. You know, I feel... I don't know if it's my favorite, but I think cowboy was like...
Really?
Speaking of Buzz, I think because I would go through the closet and I'd just pull out jeans and like the plaid shirt. I'd get my dad had a vest, like a leather, uh-huh. leather vest.
So a wannabe
Yeah, oh
cowboy
yeah, oh totally. Totally
versus like, an actual...
I was just like, you know, the...
1880s kind of costume.
Marlboro man kind of, you know,
a modern
10-year-old.
Cowboy,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
okay.
that was my go-to. How about you?
I would say through the years, my go-to was probably Batman.
Okay.
Huge Batman fan, like you wouldn't believe.
Nice.
And at the time, my favorite costume that I did, where I actually bought the Michael Keaton mask, that actual cowl with the symbol on it
sure.
and everything. I mean, it cost me like $100-some-odd or whatever.
Yeah.
And then had the chest plate, the cape, the boots, the spats, the gloves.
Yeah.
I bought everything,
yeah.
you know, so I could really look it. And, the girl I was dating at the time, because I also wore, you know, the black spandex.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of went commando, and they found out, oh, you're Catholic. And I said, well, yes, because they were able to see.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And even some of the older ladies were impressed.
Wow.
They go, you have a very nice boyfriend. So.
Well.
And I wasn't really thinking at that point, you know.
Because you had a couple beers already.
1920 at that time, you know, so hey. But I will tell you this, though, man, putting on... that cowl, it's like you do have that sense of I can kick somebody's ass right now if somebody comes after me.
I know a few people that do the cosplay of it because it's just probably really cool to just put on the armor and
yeah,
you know,
and
get
you
into
are Batman,
get into
you
character,
are, you
yeah.
know, or whatever DC comic hero you want to
yeah.
be, you know. But I mean, to me, it's like definitely putting on that cowl. There's something about it,
yeah,
you know, where kids come up to you.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they're like, oh, Batman.
Well, sure.
You know, and you go, I am, yes. You know, and of course, we're talking more of like the Michael Keaton type, the more movies versus the
Adam West. No, we're not talking about the little jumpsuit, the little tight.
Yeah, because you come in that and they go,
yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of a thing.
No,
so,
no respect.
Yeah, but the Michael Keaton on, man, it's all about
that.
Yeah,
they really upgraded. I do like Tim Burton's movies have that aesthetic, like, and I don't know how much he was responsible for that, but that upgrade of the armor was like a real good move for Batman's like kind of legend.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, you, and then, you know, what's funny is that too, is like, I would actually, play the, when I would be driving in the car or whatever, you know, for those couple of years that I wore the costume,
mm-hmm.
you know, I would actually put the Tim Burton theme in, you know, from,
oh yeah,
from the movie.
Yeah. Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman's theme to that. You drive a little faster there.
Oh, guy.
I don't care if you're driving mom's Oldsmobile or you're driving a whatever. You know,
you're pushing all the buttons on the dashboard, going,
oh yeah.
Oh, this will get me into hyperdrive, and this will get me spinning, and this will replace my tires.
Yeah, even though it says AC, you know, high AC.
No.
That's where the secret guns come out.
Yep.
You know, kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, because you hear this, and then you get into that.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a red light or not. I'm going through. You know, and it's you do have that sense, and again, you have that cowl on.
Yeah.
And you go, I can replace Michael Keaton anytime.
That'll hold up in court too when you tell the judge why, when they bring you in front of the judge for all the traffic violations you've made. You can just tell them.
Yeah.
The cowl.
Yeah.
Case dismissed.
Yeah, I'm listening to this theme, man. I mean, it's so cool. And then this part here. Tell me you're not going to drive faster.
Right?
You are going to.
Yep.
You are going through that red light. I don't care what anybody says. Camera, no camera.
Through the bridge and tunnels and of Gotham.
Yeah. If I ever did win the lottery, dude, I would love to buy the actual Batmobile from the 89.
Oh,
man, I'm so jealous of Jeff Dunham, the comedian, the ventriloquist, because he actually has one from the second film. That he can actually drive.
Was one of them driven at when we were at that parade in Garden Grove? I feel like we talked about one of those replicas at some point, but I know they had a lot of classic cars at that thing.
Yeah, I think they have the classic cars, but I think we talked about it. But I don't think they had one there though.
Yeah,
because believe me, I would have had.
You would have.
I would have had an orgasm.
Well, you might have carjacked him.
Oh, that too.
Made a run for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah. I'll trade you cars.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm sure they get that a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, oh, God, I mean, that's such an iconic car.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to cost you.
Yeah. I mean, next to the George Barris 66, you know, that's the next most famous Batmobile.
Wow.
So, and like you, though, the next one, because I worked at Knott's Berry Farm, was the Cowboy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still into it, you know, kind of a thing as well. You know, recently I rejoined SAS. And because it's that cosplay for cowboy people, you know, kind of a thing. I love that era. I have such a romance with that era, and I just love watching the westerns. I mean, the new Magnificent Seven was on the other night, you know, and I had to watch it again.
Nice.
You know, because I just have that romanticism
about
that era, you know. And I know if I lived back then, oh, I would have died within the first week, you know.
But yeah. I would have died happy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit, I got shot, you know. But those probably be my go-tos, whatever. But I've done other things too. I've gone on as a country singer, you know, kind of a thing. A few years ago, I went as like an older version of not Coco, but the little boy that, because Coco's the grandmother.
Sure.
You know, so it's a little boy that, you know, went to the other side. Or
I forget what his name was.
Yeah. Jose Emmanuel or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
So, but I was like a grown-up version of him.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, because I have a white guitar.
Okay.
Kind of a thing.
Okay.
So, and I would just go around saying, remember me.
Yeah.
You know. And
just making people cry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when I go to the marketplace, remember me. You know. So, and it was funny, too, because a lot of the kids would come up and go, oh, you're Coco. That's my Juanita.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm whatever his name is.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know my name.
I don't know my name, but I know that's my Anahuita or whatever. So, you know, so that was that. But every now and then I would do something a little bit different
or
whatever.
Yeah. Mix it up.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to do that this year. I'll let you know. What
to me,
I,
it's fun to do it. You know, because like my buddy Gino would have these big extravagant parties afterwards. We've talked about it prior, where because we worked Halloween Haunt, we didn't get a Halloween because we worked it. So the week after, we still all dressed up. And God, some of the costumes that people would come up with, you know, were just great.
Yeah.
You know, the ideas. My friend Mikey, who just passed away recently, one of my favorite, one of his, is he, I think it's called Captain Chaos or whatever. But it's the character that Dom DeLuise plays in the Cannonball Run.
Oh, his alter ego?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, JJ.
He'd have the mask.
And the hood, the red hood with the mask and the cape or whatever.
And he would save the day.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It was Captain something.
It's Captain something or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure that it's.
Don't bring him into it is what it was. It was always for
Bert was like, no, and it's not a job for him. Yeah.
It's not a job for him.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I always love how he changed his voice. Hi, JJ.
Yeah. That goes back to the Carson era.
Yeah.
All those types that were
exactly.
In there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Cannonball Run. Yeah. So those parties were always great, you know, to see who was going to dress up as was, whether it be a pirate or whatever. And sometimes we got clever with that, you know, those type of things.
Yeah.
Gino, because of his size, sometimes he would, and he played the character a couple of times, but he would dress as Smee from Peter Pan,
yeah.
You know, and do more of the Disney version or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. So, I mean, to me, it's always fun. No matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fun time of year. Yeah. I never got into the whole, like, it's a demonic, like, I don't know. Like, it was always fun, even though, like, there's a wide range of interest within the horror, like, of the slasher stuff, which isn't for everybody. But I like stuff like Disney's Ichabod Crane cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they'd play it every year on Halloween night on ABC, and I'd always look forward to that. And I ended up getting it on DVD, and I'll watch it every Halloween. I love that one, too. That's just more spooky, fun, family kind of horror. Like,
right.
I like that. Yeah,
versus the Johnny Depp version.
I like that too, and not as much, but I loved the way it looked. I loved the campiness of it, and
I just love the fact that Christopher Walken didn't hardly had any lines in it.
Oh, guy, but he was terrifying as the Headless Horseman,
which was perfect.
Yeah. You know, it was good casting of him.
It was almost like having Willem Dafoe, but not having Willem Dafoe.
Right. Oh, he would have been good too.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. That. Oh, you remind me now. I usually watch that one too.
Yeah, and those are good. So
yeah,
but a couple favorite costumes, whatever. Like my go-to Batman cowboy.
Sweet.
So we got more in common, you know, which is kind of cool. So you know what? This week is also National Nut Week. Also,
nuts. What's your favorite type of nut?
I've got two, and they're both freaking expensive.
Mm.
Macadamia.
Ooh.
And cashews.
Cashews, they'll run you a few extra bucks.
Oh, so will macadamia nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, eat the small, little, tiny ones where you get like two handfuls, $16.
Wow. Was they coming straight from Hawaii? Is that the cost of
them? The Mauna Loa. Mauna Loa.
Oh, they make the chocolate dipped ones
Yes.
So, your answer, and those listening, your answer probably depends on if you're talking about eating nuts raw or toasted or as part of another dish. It could even mean which flavor of nut you like the most, like if you're having coffee or ice cream. But all of those things do matter. We snack on them, we bake them, we cook them, we flavor them, and those are all
nuts.
Factors.
A healthy snack. nuts.
I'm being Casey now.
I was going to say this is Casey inspired. Thematic
nuts
theme song.
To take apart. Nuts can be good for your heart.
Yeah, let them sing it. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm Casey. Anyway, go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Number 11. Chestnuts, which we sing about at Christmas time. I don't know that I've had. Have you had a chestnut?
I've never roasted chestnuts on an open fire before.
No, neither have I. So this is a top 11 as opposed to the top 10. Number 10.
Oh, we get one extra.
Yes, you do. You get one extra. Brazil nuts. Brazilian nuts?
I do like those. Those are the nice, big, large ones.
Oh, are they?
That you get, like, when you buy, like, Planters mixed nuts.
Oh, and it's the biggest one in there?
It's the biggest one. Yeah,
okay.
Brazil nuts are really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 9, pine nuts.
Pine nut.
Never had pine nuts, really, Dad.
Yeah.
I really tried them out.
I don't know. Number eight, the aforementioned macadamian. Very good, very good.
The
In the foreign tongue.
Yes, exactly.
Number seven, pecan. Pecans, I like in pie. I don't know that I eat a straight pecan.
I don't know. I don't know. I'd rather maybe have like a walnut before a pecan. Yeah.
Number six, hazelnut. Is that what Nutella is mostly?
Yeah.
Like that dark.
That dark, yeah. Exactly.
Hazelnuts at number six. Number five is the walnut. The walnut.
You there you go.
Crack one open.
Yeah.
Number four, this is a divisive one to me, the pistachio.
I've had them more recently.
I'm not a pistachio person.
Really?
And that's an ice cream, right? That's pretty common, pistachio.
Yeah, but yeah, because it has that nut flavor.
Yeah, I think Spumoni has pistachio in it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Even 31 Flavors has it, too.
Not for me. Number three, love these top three here. Number three, almonds. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Almonds. The Greg Almond Band.
They make great milk, too.
Oh, yeah. Almond milk is good.
Mm-hmm.
I switched over to that a while ago. Number two, cashews.
There you go.
Oh, there we go. And number one.
Take me out to the ball game.
Mm-hmm. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. Peanuts are the most, the top nut consumed in the United States. There's so many just different ways that you consume peanuts.
I mean, I've gone to bars where you get the raw peanuts in the shell,
mm-hmm.
like you do at the ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Just chuck them on the floor.
Yep.
You know?
Is that the old La Mirada restaurant there? The log cabin one? I know that you can do it there. Yeah.
Yeah. They still have that there.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get the, was it the fancy, was it like a fancy peanut or something like that? Or like a Spanish peanut or whatever?
Yeah.
It still has like that second thing around the nut itself, that skin. But yeah, I mean, and then they're dipped in honey, they're dipped in this, they're dipped in that.
So, yeah.
I think they have the most flavors.
Oh yeah,
on those.
All those like bars that you feed the kids, the little energy bars or peanut bars.
Peanut bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Constantly. I mean, look at Snickers.
Hey. Payday.
Payday. Baby Ruth's also.
Love a payday. Love the Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
Ooh.
All those are. Oh,
getting ready for Halloween,
dude. Now I'm getting hungry now.
Right.
So, and yeah, I mean, all those are really good. So, yeah. And, of course, certain nuts are healthy for you, too, because of the oils and everything.
Oh,
so,
sure.
You know, like we were talking about, you know, almonds, too, and everything. So, those are kind of nice.
Yeah.
So
Nuts.
Go get them.
Yeah.
Go get them. Absolutely. So, so we got a few more minutes here and everything. So, real quick, I want to talk about this. As I mentioned, my son just is turning 18 today.
Nice.
And so proud of him and everything. You've got two boys yourself. How much are your boys like you?
I think a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot. for better and for worse.
Yeah. Roman is me times three.
Yeah.
With certain things.
Yeah.
He is definitely me. I mean, as far as the looks are concerned, as far as how he's grown up and everything, he is me times three.
Wow.
You know, it was funny because there was times through the years with schoolwork, especially certain things that he struggled with. And this is where we were different. He's really good at math, but had trouble like writing essays.
Mm.
I was horrible at math, but really good at writing essays.
Yeah.
You know, it was that creative side for me. And sometimes coming home or whatever, either elementary or middle school, Roman would have trouble on trying to get things started because he's a perfectionist, like I am, like my mother is, like her father was. Not a good thing to be, you know, at times. And of course, the attitude is that, you know, if you're going to do something, do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a times where you're going, it's called a rough draft for a reason, you know, and that still had to be perfect.
Yeah.
And so, but like Karen sometimes would get so frustrated on certain things, and I would come in or come home from work at the time, and I go, okay, what's the problem? She tell me, okay, come upstairs, talk to him about it, and within 5 minutes he goes, oh, okay, I get it. Because I was able to talk his language, kind of a thing, for whatever reason. I knew what he was going through.
Sure.
I was that three steps ahead no matter what.
Right.
You know, and half the time it came down to the same conclusion that Karen was trying to get him to do anyway.
Right.
But where it took her like an hour, it took me 5 minutes.
Right, right, right. But if you're aware of it in yourself, you can kind of see it in them and help them maneuver around it.
Around it.
Be like, look, let me help you get out of your own way here.
Yeah.
And let's get to where we need to go. You know?
Exactly.
When it works, it's a cool thing to kind of experience.
Yeah. So how much are your boys like you? What are some of the things that where they are like you?
I mean, they're like maybe not hyper is the right word, but like they're very interested in the arts and creativity.
Mm-hmm.
They're very interested in like taking in, be it music or shows or movies, and kind of like analyzing it and talking about like what works and what doesn't work. They want to kind of see behind the scenes kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they've shown different interests in writing and making their short movies or even just the process of coming up with ideas. Like if we're driving in the car, they'll want to talk about a Dungeons and Dragons campaign that they might do, and is this good enough, are these characters strong enough, and like kind of building the world of the D&D.
Mm-hmm.
or just talking about ideas in general. And so that sort of interest in the creativity is what is, I think, a big thing that we share.
Mm-hmm.
There's other stuff too, but yeah
for us it's I remember when Roman was born, right away, friends were asking, so you're going to teach him to play guitar?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, no.
Like they assume that's what the first thing you're going to...
Yeah. And my answer was no. And I'm like, well, why not? I said, well, first of all, he's only 3 days old. Come on, hello.
We'll wait a couple weeks.
He can't hold the guitar on his own, you know.
But at year one.
And I said, no. And I learned this from my dad, was that, you know, my dad was a minor league ball player.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so baseball was his thing, but he didn't push me to become a ball player. He let me find my own path.
Yeah.
And when I did discover baseball that one year, he was happy as a camper, you know, but when I also deviated from it, okay, fine. And I found music.
Yeah.
Hey, that's your passion. Go for it.
For sure.
You know? So I kind of did the same thing with Roman, you know, because I knew that he was going to see me be in that element.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of a thing. I mean, he's seen me perform in front of 500 people. He's seen me perform in front of 5 people.
Yeah.
And he was one of the 5.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then the friends that we have in the industry that we've gotten to know, you know, and everything, it's just been an honor and a pleasure. And now to call some of those people friends.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a thing. So it's getting over him, getting over that celebrityism too, and realizing, oh, yeah, they are just other people that are just friends or whatever. Just they happen to have this job, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But he's also kind of discovered his own. He's been singing since he was like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And that was more or less due to Karen, because I want him to discover it on his own.
Yeah.
And all I've done is suggest, you know, and growing up, he's kind of followed my footsteps in music. He plays piano better than me, which is great. He sings. He's got a better ear than me, which is great. So for all of that, I'm so proud, and I'll never forget when he was born, I called my Uncle Neil on the East Coast, my dad's best friend, and they were in the Air Force together. And I go, and I told him, you know, that the baby was born. This is what had happened, because my son was a 29-weeker, which means he was premature. Mm. We spent 55 days in the NIC unit.
Mm.
Long-ass time.
Yeah.
So many twists and turns and ups and downs and everything. I mean... you know, putting the needle in the arm, putting the needle in the head, we had to go through a spinal tap,
man.
Even, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of ups and downs, you know, very trying for our first child.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but at the same token, I told my Uncle Neil, I said, I'm so proud of him and he hasn't done anything yet. And I don't know why. And he just simply said, it's because of the things that he will do in the future.
Mm.
It's those expectations. Hmm. Those expectations that you've already gone through,
mm-hmm.
and done, whether it be graduate high school, whether it be graduate college, get married. You know, mm-hmm. it's those expectations you have for him,
mm-hmm.
and that's what you're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, okay, I kind of get it now, you know. Because I'm going, why am I proud of him? He hasn't done it. He's pooped. He's pooped, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You know? And so, you know, that was the most awkward thing too. And then bringing him home after 55 days in the NIC unit.
Yeah.
It's, God, I'll never forget that day walking in and sitting him down in the car seat, mm-hmm. you know, still, and didn't take him out yet. And I just put him on the floor in our apartment there and just watching him and looking at him going, mm-hmm. oh, my gosh, what happens now?
Yeah. You're now on a path, a whole new path.
Yeah.
And what happens now is exactly right. Like, what happens next?
Yeah. You literally came from me to her, grew, mm-hmm. and now you're this.
You're this living, breathing thing in my care.
And I'm responsible for it. It's like, holy shit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and I just figured, you know what, if I get to have the relationship with him that I have with my father, even if it's half of that, mm-hmm. we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Because I was extremely close to my father.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, here he is, 18, and I'm going, oh, my God, it's here now. It's here. I've done my job, you know, as a parent. Now, looking at his last year of high school, I know he is, but, you know, making sure he graduates. Mm-hmm. But then going, okay, let's go on to college, mm-hmm. finish what you need to do there. But now stand back mm-hmm. and let him be his own. You know, and let and just be there in case, hey, Dad, I need help with it. I'll be right there. I'm right behind you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Those years are when I got a lot closer with my dad. Not that we were distant or what have you as a child, but like we had a certain relationship that mm-hmm. was positive. But after 18 and he did step back, then we became like closer as not like obviously not friends, but like we have a friendship. And we're closer, mm-hmm. and we did things more on like a peer. I don't even know. That's not even the right word, but you know what I'm saying.
We
grew in a way closer as adults. So yeah.
I think for me it was the fact that my dad and I went to the same high school. I mean, it was literally a Back to the Future thing.
Oh yeah.
You know, we went to the same high school, 30 years apart. Mm-hmm. He graduated in 1958. I graduated in 1988. Some of the teachers that he had were still there.
Nice.
You know, we walked through the campus my freshman year. He goes, see the cement that's green? I said, yeah. He goes, that used to be grass. That's why it's green.
Hmm.
I went, well, that's kind of stupid. You know, who cares what color it is now?
Yeah.
You know.
But he was there.
But yeah. And I think because of that, I took my father through high school again, which I thought was great. And at times he acted silly, acted as a teenager again.
Yeah.
You know, which I didn't mind at all. I just went, that's my dad, you know. And I never felt once that he embarrassed me, you know. Mm-hmm. I just kind of went, well, that's my dad, you know.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we got closer where most times you rebel against your parents, uh-huh. you know. And we didn't. We got closer, and he was my confidant. He was the guy I went to for certain problems. We had a lot of different talks mm-hmm. and everything, you know, and that's what I've been with my son, you know, and to be there for him and everything and let him choose his own path. All I can do is guide, you know, and I'm so proud of him right now.
That's
awesome. Of all the things that he's done. And I couldn't be a more prouder dad, you know, for what he's done. So just want to say, Roman, love you and happy birthday. Happy 18th birthday. And,
happy birthday, Roman.
We're going to have friends over and everything and celebrate. And, of course, you're staying, of course, and attending the bar because we need a bartender later on. So, I just want to wish my son a very happy birthday. And I'm so proud of you of all the accomplishments you've done. He even did something that, to me, that's amazing, which is they want him to take take a foreign language in high school. And he decided to take ASL, American Sign Language. Mm-hmm. What a thing to pick up.
Wow.
And this is his fourth year, so when he graduates, he'll have a seal on his diploma saying that he's bilingual.
That's cool.
You know, he gets one of those cords that wraps around him or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, kind of that drapes around him. And then now he can go out looking for jobs being an interpreter.
Yeah, he can.
So now we're trying to help guide him with that, what other certificates he may need.
Cool.
Or whatever. So I couldn't be more proud.
Cool.
I could not be more proud.
That's awesome. That's congratulations.
Absolutely. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. So anyway, we are now out of time. So let's see. Did I do this thing properly? I think I did. Who knows?
For the changes,
and I think the secret sauce here is three things.
Secret sauce.
Is
no, I don't want no secret sauce. I want this song is what I want.
Alex P. Keaton on lead guitar.
Damn right, baby.
Teen Wolf by Night.
You know what? I really enjoyed that movie.
Did you like it?
I really did.
You know, you're surfing on top of a van through the streets.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll buy that van. You buy the Batmobile and I'll buy the Teen
Wolf. Oh, there you go, the Teen Wolf van. Yeah. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, the show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page is yourweeklydose. Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1.
I'm Forrest Hartle. Thank you for watching. We'll be back in a week.
That was good. Yeah, thank you for watching. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's really good.
You got to be looking at something while listening to this.
Guys, if you guys want to follow me on any of my social media, it's simply Sean R. Unplugged on any of the social media. Guys, don't forget, you can listen to past shows not only on our website, but Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And also on Lime City Radio at noon, Wednesday through Fridays. And, of course, guys, if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us because we can't grow without you. So help us spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your relatives, tell your neighbors, tell anybody. Tell Marvin Berry. We don't care.
Yes. Your cousin.
Uh-huh.
Marvin.
And listen to this. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Guess you guys aren't ready for that yet. But your kids are gonna love it.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.